Hello and welcome to SMPD, the podcast where we look back at the shows that shaped our childhood. I am Chris Bolton. With me, as always, my cartoon companion, Mr. Mark Williams.
Hello.
And the world has gone to hell in a handbasket, listeners, but it doesn't matter because we're looking back at Thomas and Friends. So I'm glad, to be honest, because on a day where it feels like the world is about to explode, we're looking at possibly one of the sweetest, nicest, most twee old world English shows. Well, on the surface of it anyway, it's not actually. It's actually quite action-packed, Thomas and Friends.
Yes.
When you actually watch it. There's some serious peril in there.
And in the first couple of episodes, Thomas is an absolute cunt as well.
And Thomas is mostly an absolute cunt, to be honest.
I didn't watch that much of it, to be honest. But from the first couple I saw, I was like, fucking, I don't remember him being this much of a pingu.
Yeah, no, we'll get into Thomas the character, I think. But I haven't really watched any of it for the show because I haven't had to, because this is a constant in my house at the moment. Obviously, I watched Thomas and Friends as a kid. I think everybody did, right? I mean, just before we probably get into it, it is worth mentioning, I think this is probably, I'd have to look back at our show list, but I think this is probably the longest running show.
Yes.
That we've looked at. This hasn't stopped since like 1984.
Correct.
It's still going. It's morphed slightly.
It's morphed and there have been gaps, but Thomas and Friends still exists and it's still being done.
Yeah.
As of July, I think it was. And then they've announced a new live action movie due in 2026.
Great.
Yeah.
So it's still going, but I mean, there's only Thomas and Friends to me, or Thomas the Tank Engine to me, is really only that first kind of three series.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's the Ringo Starr stuff, right? Yeah. That's what Thomas is to me. So, like, I say I'm watching it all the time. Like, this is the first show that I managed to get my daughter to sit down and watch that wasn't fucking Cocomelons. And
yeah.
I will be forever grateful for that, if nothing else. And she doesn't watch it as much as she did, but it's still a reliable, like, okay, We've watched all week is fucking Sesame Street, Pingu, and Miss Rachel. Like, guess watch something else. I can try other things, and most of the time she will bounce off them, but it is reliable. If I put Thomas the Tank on, she'll hear the theme tune first of all. She loves a bop to that theme tune.
Yeah, and it's a banger, to be fair.
This is cool. I mean, it's one of the best, isn't it? Like, it's, you know, you want to talk iconic theme tunes? Like, it is absolutely iconic. Everybody knows it. I guarantee you're all humming it to yourself now, listeners.
Yep.
You know, it's never ever gone away for anybody. Like, everybody knows the Thomas the Tank theme tune. It's there with like Postman Pat and all of those as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's always there. So the theme tune will come on and she'll have a little bop, and then she'll sit down. And like, the episodes are so short; they're 5 minutes a clip. Nothing else looks like them. They're all very unique.
Yeah.
And she will just sit down and watch them. So I will be forever grateful for that. So I'm watching it a lot. So those first three series, I think I've probably watched all of them over the course of the last year or so.
Hmm.
Some of them multiple times. So like, I have seen it within the last week or so, but I didn't, like, it's not like I had to carve time out like we normally do and go, oh, I need to sit down and watch some Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah.
So it's very current for me. I have seen a lot of it. But I did like it a lot as a kid as well. I don't think it was ever my favorite show, but right, I loved it, if that makes sense. I mean, I was never like a big Thomas the Tank head. Do you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, I remember I did have a Thomas the Tank bedspread. I think we've all had a Thomas the Tank birthday cake at some point.
Yeah, I had one when I was 3 or 4.
Ago. Yeah.
The usual one where you just the fucking sponge cake, the square sponge with the icing all around it and the fucking print, the icing printed on the top.
Yep, you got it. I mean, my brother-in-law had one a couple of years ago. That was his thing, like, for his 40th birthday. He's like, I want a Thomas the Tank cake. Like, fine.
Fair play.
Would do that, yeah, absolutely.
Happy
so we've all, you know, we've all had Thomas the Tank cakes. We all had Thomas toys because this.
Yeah,
this
I had a train set, like a train set, and I remember I was about 5 or 6, and we went to Toys R Us. It was like after Christmas, and we'd been given money for Christmas, and I wanted to get a train set. I don't know why, because I wasn't particularly interested in trains. It was just one of those things. I thought they were cool, and I thought train sets were cool, and for the same money, I could have bought like a fucking Hornby set or something, which is, you know, a bit different, a bit more sophisticated. But no, there was a fucking Thomas the Tank one with a track that just went round in a circle. Which fucking one did I buy?
Of course you bought the Thomas the Tank one. Yeah. I had one too.
Because I knew Thomas the Tank.
Yeah, great big plastic, chunky one. I knew it as well. But yeah, there's something about train sets, I think, especially when you're that age. And I don't know whether Thomas might actually be to blame for it, because I was
probably with our generation.
I was always fascinated by train sets as a kid, and actually still am. We went to Germany back last year, and there's a place they call Miniature Wonderland, which is essentially like three stories of a massive train set. It spans three stories, the trains, there's cars, there's all sorts of things just driving through this miniature world.
Awesome.
And it blew my fucking mind. Like, before we went there, I was just like, oh, it's probably going to be shit. Because, like, if you had that in this country, it would be shit, right?
Yeah.
It would be rubbish. It'd be a crappy model village with one little train set going around it.
Yeah.
But there was, like, all stuff you could interact with. It's fucking astounding, right? But I've always been fascinated with that level of train set. Like, I always wanted that. I had a Hornby set, too. It was handed down to me, and it was at my grandparents'. And I always just kind of fantasized about getting that real kind of model village, you know, with a little track switcher and like...
Yeah.
But when you actually put it together, every time I would get it out and put it together, you'd let it go round the track like once. And yeah, you'd do a figure of eight or something.
Yeah.
Round the track once. And then you'd be like, yeah,
is that
right,
it?
Now what?
Like, yeah. So we've got one here that number two's brother gave him a year or so ago. And... when we moved into this house, he sort of set it up on the landing upstairs. There's not masses of room, but then he ran out of room to turn it around. So what he did, he had enough track, and I'm not sure he had something that was supposed to come up, to come downstairs. Like, I don't think he was supposed to be bent that way, but it certainly is now. but he basically made it so that it came off the top step down to the middle landing bit, turned around and went back up again.
Wicked.
And it was really cool, apart from the fact that just before it got to the top, it ran out of power, because obviously, you know, it wasn't designed for that. It was designed to go around on the flat or whatever else, isn't it? But it got all, you know, it came down, it went round, it stayed on the track, it didn't come flying off or anything like that, and then it pushed itself about 90% of the way back up and then stalled and started sliding backwards again.
You got a little engineer there, dude.
I tell you what, stuff like that, Lego, fucking Kinects, and one he's got now called Gravitrax, where you make, basically you make mousetrap, but with like, bits of track, and it drops off this, and it sort of goes, this switches, so if it pushes this way, it goes over there, and some of the stuff he comes up with, how the fuck did he do that? I'm looking at saying, I'm in my 40s, I can fucking do that.
Yeah, so you've got a little engineer coming. But yeah, I think for our generation, you're right, I think it probably did start with Thomas, because that's the one thing about this show. I think the reason I liked it as a kid, and the reason I then liked train sets as a kid, was because of the way this looked. Like, even today, like those first, and it's not even the first three series that looked like that, they started to add kind of CGI and stuff as it went on.
Yeah.
But those initial shows, probably for the first 10 years or so, it's basically just a fucking train set. Like, they would augment it slightly. There'd be little bits of stop motion. Sometimes they would draw on the cells as well, I remember.
Yes.
So there was little bits. It was kind of, it was almost like a mixed media kind of thing.
Yeah.
There is still, as far as I know, nothing that really looks like Thomas the Tank Engine.
No, nothing.
Short of things like, do you remember the one with the boats? There was one with boats as well, but I think it was the same people.
Yes, it was. And there was a spin-off, which the Americans did.
Tuggers or something like that? Or boats or
something like that, yeah. There was that, and there was a spin-off from Thomas that the Americans did called Shining Time Station, which aired on PBS in the 80s.
Never heard of that in my life.
So I'd heard of it. I've been reading about it this afternoon, and when I saw the name, I recognised it. But I've looked at it. I don't recognise any of the fucking characters or anything. But I was aware there was a show that was affiliated with Thomas. But yeah, aside from the things that are directly related to it, like things would be made by the same people, there's nothing around like it. And some of the history of it, I've been reading up before we come on air, and some of the history behind it. I mean, this wasn't the first attempt at making it for TV. So in the 50s, they tried to make a live action version with actual trains.
No.
And somebody, and it was going to be live.
Hold on.
So I've got it here. So in 1950,
it's a live broadcast where they're driving actual trains around it.
And somebody's narrating over the top.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the first thing that went wrong, they commissioned two, and the first thing that went wrong was that somebody didn't pull the fucking switch in time, so it went on the wrong track.
Fuck.
And then they had to then try and back it up with carriages on it, so it went down, and then manipulate the switch so it went down the right fucking way.
Oh, no, like it didn't derail or anything. Nobody was.
It slightly derailed, but no, it didn't derail. It came off at the engine came off at the switch and had to be manipulated back onto the track. As a result of which, BBC said, "We're not paying for the second episode. Fuck off."
I mean, it's just a liability. You, as soon as you say like a live broadcast with actual trades, you're like, "Hang on, wait a minute." Yeah. Like this, because I don't know if you know this, listeners, but trains, they're just a little bit dangerous.
Yeah. Like, They're big and heavy. Once they start, they're really fucking hard to stop.
No, if you use them properly, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not like slandering the rail network or anything
No.
It's one of the safest modes of transport. Like, that's proven. It's a very, very safe mode of transport. But, like, it's not something you plonk a camera in front of.
Like, no, not for this type of thing, anyway.
No. Now,
if you just want footage of a train moving, fine, plonk your camera down. But this isn't that. So they tried that in 1953, which, no, it's ambitious for the 50s, I'll give it that. But they completely unceremoniously fucked it. So BBC, the BBC postponed the second episode of two and then eventually just pulled the plug on it. And then in the early 70s, Andrew Lloyd Webber wanted to buy it to make an animated series, an animated musical series with stuff written by him and Peter Reeves. But basically... the author turned around and said, no, not doing that. He wanted to do it and he wanted to sell it to the Americans. And he's like, well, as soon as the Americans get it, they won't understand it. They won't get the point behind it and they'll just vulgarize it and make it all Trump. So he refused. So that was the second attempt at getting on TV. And then we had this in 1984. And it's been going strong for 30 years.
Thank fuck that second attempt never materialized, because Andrew Lloyd Webber and anything, it is... always fucking
well. Ironically, he then because he wanted to center it on the story of the really useful engine,
okay,
which then went on to be the fucking basis of Starlet Express. So he made a shit ton of money off it anyway.
Well, I mean, as soon as you said it, the very first thing I thought was Starlight Express.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. A lot of people like Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's fine. You do you. I can't stand anything.
You know me in musicals. I have very specific demands in musicals, and he meets none of the criteria.
Yeah,
apart from the song's end.
I love a good musical. The problem is he doesn't make good musicals.
Yeah, I was going to say he doesn't make good musicals.
That's the problem. But yeah, so I'm glad that didn't happen. But yeah, what we got was this instead. And it's like watching it as an adult. It's very easy to watch, right? It's one of those kids shows that will work for an adult too. Like, it's not for an adult audience at all.
No. But and it's not like some things where they build stuff in for adults. It's very much just this is a show for effectively preschoolers.
Preschoolers. It's a preschooler show, definitely. But it is, it's kind of the wrong word, but I don't know how else to describe it. As an adult, it's completely inoffensive. Like, it's so easy to watch.
It's just fun.
It is fun. And it looks really nice. And the theme tune is cool. And, it's always, like, it's never not fun to see Thomas's eyes just rolling around in that 360-degree way that they do.
Yeah.
You know? That's never not fun. So they're short, right? So they wash over you. So even though, you know, sometimes we might watch 10, 15 episodes at a clip, like, that never gets as annoying as watching Morph for 2 hours.
Yeah,
and I fucking love Morph. Loved it as a kid, and when the kiddo got into it now, I was like, "Oh, wicked! She loves Morph." No.
Yeah, for a while. It's not sustainable.
No, same with Pingu. Like, again, I love Pingu. We've done the Pingu episode. Told you how much I love Pingu. Jesus Christ, I'm so fed up with Pingu right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's that oversaturation, isn't it? Mm. I think as a kid you don't notice it as much because you're taking in so many different things. There's so many different stimuli that are sort of constantly triggering your brain. You don't notice how much of it you watch. So if you watch the same one, you know, 2-3 times in a week, you're not really going to be that fucking bothered by it. Whereas as an adult, if you're watching it going, okay, well, this is on. Oh, didn't I watch this one earlier? Mm. Didn't we watch this one yesterday? And it plays and you get to that point of thinking, okay, there's enough to watch. Why am I watching the same fucking one again? And then you get to that point where you realize they're all the fucking same.
Yes, definitely that.
In general, I'm not talking specifically about Pingu or this, but just in general. That's how kids learn. It's that lather and repeat method.
Totally. We've talked about that before as well when we've done things like Teletubbies. But that's an interesting point that you raise about the stimuli, because one of the things I do know about Thomas the Tank is, I haven't done any research, by the way. It's been a busy week, and like I said, I've managed to watch this without having to sit down and actually, you know, watch it for the show. So I haven't done any research. I didn't think I particularly needed to. Thomas the Tank is Thomas the Tank. You know, apparently there is a lot more history that I didn't know about, so that's interesting. It's always fun for me when I don't do research and you're able to... Like, this throws all the way back to when we started this show, and I would literally do fuck all except show up and babble for 2 hours. And then you would go like, but I've done the research, Chris, and this is who did it, and this is how it is. So this throws back to that a little bit. Yeah. But one of the things I do know about Thomas the Tank Engine, actually, is it's very, very popular amongst neurodivergent people. And neurodivergent adults as well, specifically. And I don't know what it is about Thomas the Tank that makes it that popular. I mean, I suppose a number of them have special interests in trains, so that might have something to do with it. But not all of them.
Possibly.
Do, you know? But some of those people will have special interests that are trains. But I think... it is that it's actually incredibly calming to watch.
Yeah.
Even though, like I said, there's definite peril in there.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, compared to, say, Pingu, for instance, or Morph, where, like, I was making dinner earlier, and the little one had Pingu on a fire tablet thing. And even with my back turned to it, while I'm just, like, cooking rice from the stove, you're just hearing, wah, wah. Wah, when you're off, shut the fuck up. Yeah. Like, just be quiet. Like, it's constantly wah, wah, crash, bang. What, like, whereas Thomas,
yeah, it's constant just, energy, isn't it?
Yeah, whereas Thomas has got that nice kind of monotone Ringo Starr one note drawl.
Yeah.
And then the occasional, like, beep, beep. And that's your lot. And then you get the music as well. And even the music is so jolly and uplifting and actually quite gentle.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, there's nothing aggressive about it. There's nothing spiky about it. It's another one of those, you know, we've talked about some of these when we looked at, you know, some of the older stop motion shows like the Cosgrove and Hall stuff. And, like, you know, when we were looking back at James the Cat and stuff like that. And it's got that kind of just gentle twee British energy to it.
Yes.
You know, that kind of real late 70s, early 80s, just like jolly hockey sticks kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
That's really nice.
It is. It's however, really nice. Harking back to what we were saying about Thomas being a bit of a cunt, it gets quite dark in places. There's some of the stuff the trains do to each other.
Very. Like I said, there's real peril. You know, you got the stuff where they brick each other up and like this.
Yeah.
There's a whole spate of episodes. I think it's towards the middle of season 2.
Right.
And it's actually quite comical because there's about 4 or 5 in the row where the trains are basically just averting natural disasters. There's like there's a landslide.
Yeah.
There's a flash flood. There's all sorts of stuff like that. And again, it just credit to it. It's one of the, like I said, my daughter will sit down and watch it. And just this past week, actually, you know, she's starting to talk a lot more now. And she's getting to the point where she's able to express herself.
Yeah.
Like, verbally. And
slippery slope, because now she won't shut up.
Yeah, we're getting there, believe me.
Next 40 years, you're kind of fucked now.
Yeah. And I've also got to, like, watch what I'm saying around her as well, which, you know, for regular listeners, we know that's difficult because I swear a fucking lot.
Yeah.
But, like, this is one of the only shows, again, where, like I say, she will sit down and watch it. But I've always kind of felt like when she's watching things like Pingu and Sesame Street and stuff like that, she's watching them, but it doesn't really feel like she's taking it in. Or
yeah, it's not registering. It's just things moving in front of her.
Right. But this week, a couple of times when we've had Thomas on, like the flood episode, for instance, or there's one where a mine collapses as well and Percy gets buried under rubble. And, like, he got buried under rubble and she went, oh no, he's stuck. And I'm like, fucking genius. Like, she's fully understood this story. She understands what's going on. She understands that her boy Percy is stuck under the rubble and she's genuinely concerned for him. And she's been able to say to me, he's stuck. Elmo didn't fucking accomplish that in the last 18 months, I can tell you. Like, Thomas did. But you know, Elmo doesn't get it to say her ABCs, but Thomas has got it to say, oh no, he's stuck. And yeah. he's really quite concerned about it. So, you know, there's just something about this show, I think, that just connects with people. And, you know, part of it is probably because they're only 5-minute episodes as well, and they've got the template from the books.
Yes.
The simplicity of the storytelling is really, really wonderful. Like, and you know, that's something we talk about in this show a lot. Like, you know, sometimes we get shows that are like 25 minutes long and there's barely enough story for 5 minutes. And, and this totally understands that. It's like, here's a little short snippet of a story and it will be literally like, and I guess this was quite expensive to make because of the amount of models and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So it's literally like, this is as short as we can make it. It's going to be like 5 minutes or so in and out and we'll condense that story down.
Yeah. And they do it. But I mean, really the books are only short anyway.
I've never read one of the actual books, right? I had like Thomas books on tape and stuff, but they were books that were adapted from episodes of the TV show, which in turn were adapted from the books, right? It's got that kind of Winnie the Pooh cyclical adaptation thing going on, right? Where there are even new Thomas stories now that have been written by descendants of Reverend, whatever his name was. Audrey, that's it. You know, that are now based on the TV shows that were based on his book. So it's got that cyclical thing. But I think I could be wrong in this because I've never read one, but I'm pretty sure the original books were kind of like omnibuses anyway, weren't they? They were like a volume of stories. And so they were all quite short. They were like poems and short stories and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think we had a couple when we were kids and they were your standards of, you know, kids picture story books for 4 or 5 year olds. So they're probably 10 pages at a push with, you know, picture and some words on each. You know, it's not, they weren't setting the world on fire. Yeah. You know, they weren't War and Peace by any fucking metric. And, but that's all you need. And I think that as they've gone on, I do remember, when my nephew was younger, he used to quite like Thomas, and watching some of the ones that came out, so some of the later series, not the later runs of this show where they brought in the CG and stuff like that, they were 10, 15, pushing 18 minutes long in some cases. And they don't get me wrong, they built the story out and they retained a lot of the sensibility and a lot of the feeling of the originals, but they were made into longer products because they got more engagement from telling a more drawn out story. But it just felt a bit sort of, I don't say hackneyed, and I think it's probably because I wasn't used to it, and it's not the Thomas and Friends I grew up with. But it just didn't feel right. It just felt like there was too much in it. And I think that, so what you had with the originals, with them being that sort of that very short, very punchy, well, this is happening today. You know, Thomas is being a dick, so they're going to teach him a lesson by dragging him along 100 miles an hour. Stuff like that. But, you know, you can tell that in a couple of pages, and you can convey the fact that Thomas is really struggling, and after that, he's not going to be quite such a prick.
Yeah.
But that's your story. You don't have to flesh it out with what the Fat Controller is doing and what else is going on the island and what the passengers are doing. You don't need any of that.
No.
And it's just unnecessary flavoring they added later on to flesh it out when they didn't really need to.
It definitely doesn't need it. And I think you're right. You know, all of these shorter stories, and maybe it's because it was written by a man of the cloth, I don't know, but there's very specific morals in them all as well. Like, they've all got a point. Like, you know, it's, this is why you don't be a cunt to your friends. This is why you don't show off. This is why, you know, they've all got a kind of moral to them.
This is why you don't bury your friends alive when they get a bit depressed.
Exactly. Right. So there's all of that going on. But then also the fact that they're only 5 minutes means that they're in and out without you getting a chance to question any of the logic, I think.
Yeah.
And as an adult, and I think probably even as an older child, if you're allowed 10, 15 minutes to sit down and let your mind wander a little bit, you're really going to start to wonder about how this world works. Because I do when we're watching lots of them at a clip as well. Because the trains are autonomous, right? They can move on their own. They can talk on their own, sort of, via Ringo Starr. But they do all, you know, the implication is they all talk.
Yeah.
They're expressive, you know, they have personalities, they have minds.
Yeah, but then there are people.
Yeah, there are drivers, and there's the Fat Controller, and it's so like, why are the people needed? Surely our train overlords would have just taken over, wouldn't they?
Well, yeah,
you know, because
it's what evolved into cars.
Yes,
And where that came, like how the cars are now people, and like no, there are no people anymore, but there are vehicles who are people.
Mm.
And it just doesn't make any fucking sense. And as I said, the more time you have to think about that, the more you're going to dwell on it.
Whereas
you can think, well, if I've got 3 minutes to tell a story about Thomas is showing off, and actually because he's showing off, he forgets to attach the carriages he's supposed to be pulling.
Mm.
You get this nice little morality tale about hubris, but then you're done and you move on to the next thing and you go about your day. And you can almost sort of see these being used as a sort of Sunday school technique. Rather than reading your Bible stories that you've heard a million times before, and mm-hmm. being Sunday school, none of you want to be here. You're here because your parents or your grandparents fucking made you come. So rather than saying, I'm going to tell you the same fucking story about the bloke who built his house on the beach and it fell down on the sand, I'm going to tell you about a train who was an absolute cunt and he got his comeuppance.
I mean,
I know which one I'm fucking on board with.
If my Sunday school teachers started telling me stories about trains that were cunts, I definitely wouldn't have been kicked out.
That's why I started playing football, because it was on the same time on a Sunday morning.
I'm sure I've told that story many times on this podcast before, so I won't retread old ground. But yeah, kicked out of Sunday school at a very young age. I asked too many questions, essentially. So it pretty much as I do now as an adult, you know, as I'm sat here going, if you think about this for too long, you're going to start questioning the logic of Thomas the Tank. And I think you will, because I know I do. Now, but it doesn't bother me when it's 5 minutes. Like, say, when it's 5 minutes, just like, oh, Thomas has been a prick again. What a surprise.
Yeah, what's he up to this week, and how they're going to get him back?
Yeah. Or like, oh, my boy Harold's coming. Amazing. And I'll punch the air because Harold the helicopter's coming in. And then you realize also, he's a pompous cunt as well, but he looks cool. So, you know.
Most of them are assholes, to be fair.
They're all fucking assholes. Every single one of them is an asshole. Like, I don't think there's a likable character, short of Percy.
Yeah, I think Percy's all right. I think Edward's all right in small doses.
Yeah, Edward's kind of got that kind of stoic energy about him, where he's a little bit just over this shit, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just like, can't be bothered. And the carriages are all right.
Okay, yeah.
Clarabelle and all of them, they're all right. Yeah. Anna and Clarabelle, yeah. Most of the engines are pricks. The Fat Controller, surprisingly, isn't a prick. That's a weird take on that. Like, you would assume he would be, again...
Yeah, he's supposed to be like Johnny Law. He's the one you're not supposed to like.
Yeah, but he's actually quite jolly and normally quite nice to the trains as well. So that's an interesting kind of reversal as well of a trope.
It always makes me laugh as well. I can't see the Fat Controller without thinking of a particular job I was on. Do you remember when we were doing Double Top, you came down to one of my sites to do an audition with one of the guys?
Yes.
We had a Supergrid Transformer delivered. So this thing weighed about 200 ton, brought in on a massive trailer, traveling about 2 miles an hour. And there's a picture I've got on my computer somewhere of said individual who I used to share an office with, walking along in front of it and guiding this fucking convoy of massive fucking trailers with transformers on it. And it always makes me think of the Fat Controller.
I mean, he's ubiquitous, isn't he? The Fat Controller now with kind of paunchy middle-aged men in positions of power. Like that's a go-to. If you want to poke fun at somebody like that, you go, oh, it's that fucking Fat Controller.
Here we go.
Especially if you happen to be in a suit for your job. Oh, it's that fucking Fat Controller. Here we go.
Or if you don't normally wear suits and you're in one for a meeting or an interview or court or whatever.
Yeah. It's a go-to, isn't it? And again, that is credit to how much this has permeated culture. Which is unsurprising. Like I said, when you consider it's been around almost as long as we have.
Yeah.
Like, I was 3 when this first aired, and it's never been off the air since.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking mental. Like, you expect that of a magazine show or something like that, or a show like Sesame Street, where it's edutainment. Yeah. You don't expect that about a 5-minute show about a fucking train set.
No, exactly.
That's pretty fucking mad. We do need to talk about that. I've touched on the kind of mixed animation style, but whoever came up with that idea of, like, it's about trains, so we'll use a model train set. Like, that is...
fucking genius.
It's so inspired, isn't it? Like, because...
Because the temptation would have been to make stop-motion models.
Of course it would have, yeah.
And that would have taken so much longer. It would cost them so much more. And actually, Hornby sets were a thing. So you get some die-cast models of the ones in the books that we can then put a little fucking motor in and attach to the front of one of these. No, we can get models of the things that we're actually, we're supposed to be showing. why the fuck wouldn't we do that? Why would we waste our time making the same model, but then moving it, taking a picture, moving it, taking a picture, smooth out the thumbprints, start now. It's one of those things. It's common sense. And actually, then the things you do have to use the stop motion for, animating people and stuff like that, they're in it so fucking little anyway.
Yeah, and they're able to move. Like, yes, you do stop motion animation, but it doesn't need the fluidity of movement that your regular skeletal stop motion figure would, because they are figures in a train set.
Yeah.
So it, you know, you can skip a load of frames and they can move in that very kind of XY robotic access kind of motion. You know, there's no need for their facial expression to particularly change other than, you know, going from blank to surprised or blank to sleeping. You know, their hands don't need to grasp things. You don't need to see that happen, because they can move in that poseable action figure sort of manner. So I still don't think it would have been cheap, don't get me wrong, because you've got to build all of this shit. And you're building different sets and stuff every week as well. I mean, you're going to have your station and stuff set up. But like the one I talked about earlier, they have to build a mine. You know, there's an episode where they go to a haunted tram yard and stuff. We made sure to watch that one on Halloween, because that one's quite cool. You know, so they have to have all these different environments. Like I said, there's an episode with a flood, so they need that, because there's been a big landslide and a flash flood and stuff. So they'll build all this stuff. The attention to detail within it as well is bang on. Like the puffs of smoke coming out of the engines, you know, the sheep that are on the hillsides that they go past, the little trees that, you know, the people in the windows of the stations, like it's all there. It's like watching a little miniature train set working. It's just that you also have a story narrated by the shittest beetle. Like, what more could you possibly
want? I always maintained that when the guy broke into George Harrison's house and stabbed him, if he'd just gone, "Oh, Thomas is having a bad day." They've completely thrown the fucker off. He wouldn't know where he was. He'd have run away.
He'd have legged it. Yeah. We got to talk about Ringo, haven't we? It's a double-edged sword, isn't it, right? Because his performance is not good. It's fucking awful. Like,
he's Ringo fucking Starr.
He's so one note. But yeah, he's Ringo Starr. And it's accepted that he's going to be shit. It's just accepted. Like, he's so lovable for it, because he's so he's so shit and so arrogant about how shit he is that you can't help but love the guy. And it's just, this is, like, you did the voice then. This is what Thomas the Tank Engine sounds like. Anybody else's voice is wrong.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I can't watch the others. If anybody other than Ringo is doing the voiceover, it's fucking wrong.
Just as a test, who else has done voices?
Alec Baldwin, I think.
Alec Baldwin, in the live action movie.
I was going to say I only know that because of the live action movie.
Two others you'll know.
Two others I'll know. So two other famous people.
Yeah. So in total, there are about 10 people who have done voices between here and the US.
I'm never going to. Oh, right, so we're talking some US. Oh, fucking hell, I wouldn't know the US.
George Carlin.
What?
And Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, that I can see. That I can see. I can see that. Do you know what would be really fucking good? Really, really good is Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
That's a voice I want reading Thomas the Tank. He'd be fucking excellent. And not like scary Liam Neeson, just Liam Neeson being Liam Neeson. I think
not being the fucking dude from Taken, which he spent the last 20 years doing.
I think he'd be excellent. George Carlin, what the fuck?
Yeah, I think I need to track one of those down.
Yeah, so do I.
What I've got going on in my head is the same as if you had Richard Pryor doing it.
Well, this is
every other word would be motherfucker.
Like, how can he get through it? How can he get through 5 minutes without dropping an F-bomb?
Like, yeah, exactly. So
that's interesting. It's just anybody else is wrong.
Yeah.
Anyone else is wrong. It has to be Ringo Starr. But his performance is shit. That's unfair. His narration is fine. His narration, like the act of reading the story is fine.
Yeah.
It's any time he's required to actually act. Anytime
he's being a character.
Yes. Anytime there is speech required, he is absolutely abysmal.
Yeah. But saying that, I mean, even then, they still stuck with that model until the late 90s of just having the narrator do everything.
There's nothing wrong with the model. I don't think there's anything wrong with the model. I think it's just his performance.
It was only in the late 90s they went over to actually having actors doing particular voices. You have a narrator who does the fourth wall stuff, and then they have actors doing the voices of the characters.
See, I don't think I would like that.
It's probably in something I have seen of the later stuff, which I would have seen with my nephew when he was younger. But it's not burned into my brain. It's not indelibly inked in there like Ringo Starr is. And I don't think it ever would be. I could sit down and watch. I mean, there are 500 fucking episodes of this thing. I could probably sit down and watch the last 100, which don't feature Ringo Starr, and I'd still be thinking, yeah, no, Ringo Starr is the voice of Thomas Tank. That's how it works.
It just is. There is, like, you text me last week, and you said, I assume we're watching the original Ringo Starr Thomas the Tank. And I was like, there is no other Thomas the Tank.
Yeah.
It's like RoboCop. There is no other RoboCop. Like, there's the first one, and that's it.
Before I started looking into it, I didn't realize it was a continuation of the same thing. That's where I got confused. Mm-hmm. That's what Thomas and Friends sounds like. That's what Thomas the Tank sounds like. And I don't want anything else.
I can't accept anything else. It's Ringo.
It doesn't sit in the brain. Like even if you sit down and watch it, once he's finished, it's gone. Whereas Ringo is fucking in there.
Yeah, totally. And it's, like I said, there's something about that kind of real measured one note delivery that he's got, that droning kind of. He sounds bored himself. He sounds bored being there, but it's very relaxing.
He's probably sober at this point.
Probably was, yeah. He's probably off the. Yeah, 83, 84, yeah. He's probably kicked the drugs.
There's no fucking Yellow Submarine, is there?
No, you know, definitely not. No Octopus's Garden or anything like that. But there's just something about it that just settles you in. Again, it's a cozy cup of tea and biscuits and just listening to his voice drone on.
Yeah.
But, you know, you mentioned about kind of having the character speak. Like, that doesn't work for me either, because there was something, and we've had a few shows like this where they've got these kind of almost kind of motion storybook kind of feel to them, where it's a children's story that's been narrated to you. And this was very popular, in the words of Grandpa Simpson, you know, this was the fashion at the time. It was, you would have these 5-minute stories and they would be narrated to you very much like you were reading.
Like Grandpa's reading you a book.
Yeah, exactly. And so that fits. Now, it's not to say you can't have the characters talking, because of course you can, but to me that's just not the same thing. That's a totally different energy and a totally different show.
Yeah, that's not you being told a story, that's you watching a story play out.
Yes.
If you like, it sounds like I'm saying it's the same thing, and it's not the same thing. It's the difference between somebody reading to you and you having, you know, somebody reading a book to you, or somebody reading something on the radio, or you sitting and watching a play.
Yes, that's isn't it?
It's not the same. Yeah, even if you're reading the play, it's not comparing apples and apples.
No, it's not. So yeah, it's kind of like, I suppose. Yeah, no, that's the. I was going to go somewhere else, but that is the best analogy for it. It's like reading a storybook and then watching a play. That's exactly what it is. And I just don't want the other thing, not in my Thomas the Tank. I don't want that chocolate in my peanut butter. I want the original, just like read the story to me and have it be Ringo Starr reading the story to me.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you have to wonder, like, how did they even settle on Ringo Starr? Because he's not like the guy your mind instantly goes to, is he? Where you go like, we've got this story set on a remote island with a bunch of trains and it's all very kind of oldie world. Jolly hockey sticks. Who should we get? Oh, Liverpudlian. Why not? That's the accent we want over this.
Yeah, I'm trying to find anything written about how they came to cast him, but I can't find anything. Oh, hang on. It's just telling them the various people who've done it. Doesn't say why.
On his side, it's probably like, well, what else is he doing at this point? Like,
everyone else is slightly preoccupied at the moment. I got nothing to do, so why not fucking do this?
Yeah, exactly. One, possibly two, of my best mates are dead.
One is ever so slightly dead. Paul's off saving the world one non-murdered cow at a time.
Assuming Paul's not actually dead as well. Mark's gone quiet. You know about the Paul McCartney conspiracy theory. This isn't news to you, surely.
I'm aware there's something, but I can't place what it is.
Oh fuck. Okay.
I may have heard, but you'll tell me, and I'll probably go, "Oh fuck yeah!" But at the moment, it's drawing a fucking blank.
So I forget the exact year, but somewhere around the early to mid '60s, Paul McCartney apparently died and was replaced with a Paul McCartney doppelganger.
Okay.
There are very and like, look, this sounds like a mad conspiracy theory.
Is this like the fucking Avril Lavigne thing where they replaced her with the body devil?
No. This is more concrete than the Avril thing. It's still probably a mad conspiracy theory. The Avril thing is mad as well, right?
But yeah. Well, even the people who made it up have said it's not true. We know it's not true. We made it up for shits and giggles, and people still fucking go for it.
The madness. But the Paul McCartney thing, so there's this rumor that Paul died and was, I think he died in a car. Yeah, he died in a car crash. I'm sure.
Yes, I have heard that.
It's either a car crash or a plane crash. I can't remember what it was.
Yes, I have heard that one.
Yeah, and so they replaced him with this body double, and then there are subliminal messages throughout all of the Beatles' work after.
Yes,
that.
You know, so I have heard that, yeah.
Well, if you start playing the albums backward, they'll say, like, Paul is dead, Paul is dead, Paul is dead. They hide things in the artwork and stuff. It's a real, like, take a deep dive on it. It's there's a lot to it. It doesn't really matter, right? Because even if Paul McCartney did die in the 60s, the person we now know as Paul McCartney is was Paul McCartney. So he is
Paul McCartney.
that's it now. But yeah, that's where I was going with, like, possibly to a dead. I didn't mean George as well. George would have died.
What do you think? 2003.
Yeah, so George was still kicking around at this point.
Yeah.
He was off fucking with yogis and stuff doing his
thing.
But yeah, George was still around, but yeah, possibly. Yeah,
no, the Paul thing wasn't registering with me. Once you said, I have heard that. I certainly heard the died in a car crash bit.
Yeah. So apparently Paul McCartney is, but who knows? But yeah, like, what else are you going to do at this point if you're Ringo Starr, right? Because let's be fair, ain't nobody in their right mind going to go, "Oh, do you know what? I really need a drummer. Who shall I phone?"
Yeah. Yeah, the dude from the Beatles. Let's get him in.
Nobody's phoning old fucking Backbeat Ringo, are they? Like, nobody's doing that. You gotta feel sorry for the guy in a way. he was still the drummer in the Beatles.
I was gonna say this. It doesn't matter how you skin it. He is still always going to be the drummer in the Beatles.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, like, everybody else managed to go on and have their own pretty successful career, and he became the Thomas, and that's who Ringo Starr is now to our generation, isn't it? Let's be honest. And I'm a huge Beatles fan as well, right? But the first thing I think when you say Ringo Starr isn't he's the drummer of the Beatles.
To be fair, I think that's the third thing
Thomas
with me.
The Tank. Like,
for me, it's the third thing, because the first thing is Thomas the Tank, and the second one is the fact that he was, it about 10, 15 years ago, he decided that he was going to stop answering all the fan mail and basically said, "Fuck it, I've had enough." And went ballistic on all his fans.
Yes, he did.
And it's like, yeah, that sounds about right. And then,
but again, it's that level of arrogance that you just have to go, "Oh, bless him." It's almost like he's the anti-Bono, isn't it? Where Bono's a cunt because he's that arrogant, and he like it or not, you have to admit that it's true, right? I don't like you two because I hate Bono, but, like, they're unquestionably very successful and good.
Yeah.
Whereas Ringo is just shit. But he's so he's so arrogant about the fact that you're just like, you kind of have to love him for that. That level of delusion is quite endearing. He always gets a pass from me, Ringo Starr. But actually,
he's Ringo Starr. He's always going to get a pass. He's Ringo fucking Starr.
It's probably the third thing that comes to mind for me as well. And actually, the second one isn't even connected to him, really. But when you say Ringo Starr, I go Thomas the Tank Engine. Then I go Ringo's crisps, which are nothing to do with him. Nothing to do with him whatsoever. But when you say Ringo, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Ringo's. Cheese and onion rings. They were like posh onion rings.
Yeah.
You know, onion,
yeah. The other thing, I guess, the Simpsons episode he was 20. In where Marge painted him in the fucking, when she was a kid and sent him the painting, and he replied when, again, that's what brings me back to sort of the fan mail and stuff like that, is that episode of The Simpsons he's in where he's in it for about 5 fucking seconds.
Yeah, but again, he's Ringo Starr, so he can do what he wants. But
exactly.
Just do what he wants. You know, and then eventually you end up getting to Zach, and then you go, oh yeah, actually he's better than Ringo anyway. So
yeah.
Like, that was the best thing Ringo ever did.
Yeah.
You know,
he married a Bond girl, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Quite possibly.
I want to say it's Barbara Bach, but I can't remember. I have to look that up.
That rings a bell. That does ring a bell.
Completely off fucking point.
Well, you know, we're talking.
Well, yes
about,
and no.
We're talking about the cast, the star of the show. But yeah, it does just baffle me. Like, who's sat in that boardroom going, "Who shall we get? Ringo Starr."
Well, it's probably. I mean, we talk about it on Better Than Mario all the time as well. It's probably because, right, somebody's gone, "Who's available?" Oh, you know what? You know, I've got the same agent as Ringo Starr. He's not doing fuck all at the minute. Let's see if he's got an afternoon to kill.
Yeah,
and then it's grown from there.
And conceivably as well, you know, the Beatles haven't been broken up that long at this point. Either.
No.
It's not, you know, it's not like his star is waning as such. He may not be busy, but he's still very much going to be in the public eye. You know, he still was the drummer of the largest band in the world not so long ago. So.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he's a nobody. It's still like a score if you get Ringo Starr in.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is just perfect for it, is the thing as well. Like, I think once they get to the point where they get him in to test, like I said, when you hear that voice, it's like, yeah, the performance isn't particularly good, but the voice really does work. It shouldn't.
Yeah.
It you know, that Scouse twang should not work with this kind of, you know, you feel like it almost needs some sort of RP.
It's like a fucking Home Counties type vibe to it.
But then I think that would push it so middle class.
Oh yeah, completely.
You bounce off it is the thing. So Ringo manages to bring it back down to earth, and it is because it is actually about the fucking the working class people on the rail. All right, in this instance, they're the trains, right? But it is about this kind of working class structure that's in place there, where you've got the fat controller, and then you've got the hierarchy of control there, where you've got the drivers who don't do fuck all, but then you've got the trains who are your actual grease monkeys who are down there doing
they're the ones doing the work.
And they've got their own personalities and things, you know. So it is that kind of, I don't want to use the word gritty because that's wrong, but it's that kind
no, I know what you mean though, yeah.
It's that kind of show. So if you had somebody with a cut glass accent or something like that, then it kind of removes that element of like luxury travel and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, so I think maybe that's why it works with Ringo. But yeah, his performance in terms of like any time he has to speak, it's like pulling teeth. It really is. And I think it's worse because whenever you think of the Beatles performing, and particularly because it's animated as well, like you kind of go to Yellow Submarine. And like the performances are not great in Yellow Submarine either. But then when you consider that those are the performances that they got after they decided the Beatles performances weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And you're like, alarm bells should probably have been ringing, shouldn't they?
Yeah. But again, you think we put Ringo Starr's name on this.
That's what it is, isn't it? But I mean, thankfully they didn't let him anywhere near the theme tune. So that's
no.
That's good.
And again, that's entirely in keeping with the 80s as well. No, hello, Raggy Dolls, talking to you.
Careful. Careful. I don't want any complaints.
I didn't mean Raggy Dolls. I meant Dennis Waterman, honest.
Yeah, we've gone quite a while without a complaint. So let's not.
I'm getting bored now.
No, let's not tempt fate.
But I say what it was the style in the 80s. No, For all of its faults, and there are many, many faults with Little Britain, the whole right theme tune, singing the theme tune bit, yes, it's a dig at Dennis Waterman, but it was entirely in keeping with what people did in the 80s.
Yeah,
because it was cheaper than getting some other cunt in to write and produce a song.
Mm.
He's on set anyway, just fucking get on with it.
Yeah, just do it. While you're here, do us a ditty about fucking Thomas the Tank Engine, and he probably would have had like the drum beat emulating like the sounds of the engine or something. And
Well, the clack of the wheels on the track, you know.
Yeah, and it would have had lyrics. And we yes. Yeah. No, you don't need it. Like, you cannot beat just the simple do, 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 do. Like, it's... And once it's in your head...
Yeah.
And it will randomly just pop into my head.
Yeah,
it's not, you don't have to tell me Thomas the Tank Engine.
The thing is, it doesn't even need to randomly pop in, because you go to the fucking supermarket and they've got the machines. You put your kids in, and if you stick 50p in it, it just moves up and down and plays the theme song at you. But you don't have to put the money in. Every time you walk past the cunt, it's got a motion sensor in it.
And it just
so anyone walks past it, and it's either that or Peppa Pig.
I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Is that Thomas is still everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So that there's that to it as well. But I don't need to be jogged into the Thomas theme tune.
Like,
I
no, can just it's there.
It's one of those idling motions, and we've talked about that with some of the theme tunes on the shows before. It's just one of those idle states for your brain, where you know you do the Homer Simpson and you get the bird peck in the water. Like, once your brain gets to that point, sooner or later.
Yeah,
you're just gonna get boom, 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 boom. And once it's that, you only need like two notes, and then forget about it. Like it's there all day, all day.
And it's quite funny, because like some of the things we watch, we talk about the theme tunes and stuff. And sometimes I need to hear it for it to sort of go, oh fuck yeah, that's jog my memory. I remember that. Not this fucking hell. I was waiting for it to start. I was like, come on, fucking hurry up.
Yeah, and there's also, you know, some of the theme tunes you listen to, like you kind of, you know, the structure of the tune, and you can kind of remember it, but you can't. I don't know how I can put this into words, but I can vividly hear the Thomas theme tune in my, like, all of the sounds as well. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm not just getting an approximation of that song in my mind. Like, I can, it's almost like I can phantom hear it. Like, even you know, doom 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 doom. And all the different instruments in there and the sounds, like, I can recreate it perfectly in my mind.
It's that and Bullseye for me has the same effect.
Yes, Bullseye, I could get that. I can get on board with that as well.
I think the thing with me as well with Thomas is that I with Thomas, I can. It's almost a point where I can visualize it, and I know it's music, so I can't visualize it, but I can. I can place the visuals that go with it.
Yep.
Even no. Best part of 40 years later.
I can perfectly recreate the whole thing in my mind, from Thomas going over the viaduct and then the actual sounds, not just how the song goes, like the actual sounds of the instruments. I can perfectly replicate, because they're burned in. And like, I did watch it a lot as a child. Like I say, it was, you know, it was around during my early formative years.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would have been 3 when it was coming on TV. And I can remember, even as a young kid, you know, 5, 6, just wanting to watch it because it looked so cool. That's what it was that got me into it. It wasn't necessarily the stories. It certainly, I could give a fuck about trains. It wasn't the train side of it. You know, I was never that. We've talked about this in the show before. I was never that kid. I was never cars and trains and stuff like that. That just wasn't me. But it looked so fucking cool. And I just wanted to see all the environments and, you know, the way they were moving along the track and stuff like that, and the smoke coming out, it just looked amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's what drew me in. And perhaps that's why I can so vividly remember it, because I was kind of burning that into my mind, because I was just watching it going, like, this is fucking amazing. And it's still amazing as an adult to watch it now. Like, you couldn't do this any better today.
No. It might look a bit cleaner because the technology that you'd be filming on and stuff like that, but... You're not going to tell a better or more succinct story. You're not going to, apart from it looking a bit crisper, you're not going to make it any differently. So it's not going to look any different.
I think it would actually look worse if you tried to replicate, because with HD cameras and stuff, it's going to show how fake those environments are.
And you lose the texture and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, and we've talked about this, I think it was when we did... things we were talking about Pingu, but look, where you have stop motion, and somebody leaves a thumbprint on the fucking on the model, stuff like that. You lose all of that. To do it now, you use wireframes and stuff like that, so it would be cheaper, because once you've built your wireframe, you can get to whatever the fuck you want, and you reuse it, and you're going to build a new model, that sort of stuff. But you lose a lot of that sort of authenticity and all that feel to it, because you don't have the thumbprints. You don't have the bit that's slight. No, it's a little bit darker and a little bit grubbier than the rest of it. So it could be a shadow, or it could be a bit of dirt. You get that, you know, you lose the texture on the buildings and on the scenery and stuff like that, because actually when you do it in CG, it looks like the fucking Windows XP wallpaper with a hill.
Yeah.
Where it's all just flat and monotone and all the rest of it. And you think, well, that's not what you're there to watch. Whereas having that older version of it, I think, and part of this may be the sort of the nostalgic element. We're thinking, yeah, same with them for things like it doesn't sound right without Ringo, and no, they do it in this particular way. That may be personal baggage that we're bringing to it, as opposed to it could actually be better a different way. We just haven't experienced it, and our brains don't want to experience it. But I think certainly in terms of if you were to try and make it now, the way it would be made now, it's not going to look and feel the same.
No.
And I don't think it has longevity at that point.
No. So I did mistakenly put one of the newer episodes on not so long ago. And the title sequence started and it was CGI. Mm. And immediately my brain was like, nope.
What the fuck is this?
I had a real reaction to it. I was like, nope. Like, this isn't, no, go away. And I had to get rid of it. And I think you're right. Certain amounts of that are personal preference. But I think also because of the style of it, you know, because it was that live action, almost live action anyway, it is still animated.
Yeah.
It's got that feel because it's the train set. Like you said, you get an element of texture. And what you also get is imperfection. And when you look at CG, and particularly cheap CG, like you get on TV and stuff like that. And even the best quality, like, for instance, I watch quite a lot of the CG shows now, the sort of Pixar and Spidey shows, they're on Disney Plus, right? You get like things like the Monsters at Work show and stuff like that. And it's good, right? But it's cheap CG. And the difference between cheap CG and good CG isn't necessarily that it costs more or the animation is better, right? Because animation is a skill. Right, and if you've got a good animation team and you've got the right tools in place within that CG environment, then that will kind of take care of itself. I don't mean to detract from an animator's work there. Regular listeners will know I respect them tremendously. But what I'm saying is that's the person, not the budget. Yeah. That's the artist being able to do that, right? And taking the time to study how it moves and stuff like that. But the problem with CG is it's that uncanny valley thing, right? And where you fall into the uncanny valley is when it's cheap CG, what they don't do is take the time to kind of go back and scuff it up. This is the difference between a Pixar movie, for instance, and like a Sony movie or a cheap TV CG thing like a Cocomelons, right? Is they'll generate these environments and the animation will be fine. The animation will be quite good in some cases and the textures might be quite good. But they'll be too plastic and perfect. Whereas Pixar directly employ people to literally go in and go, no, that looks too perfect.
Looks too new.
Like, there needs to be like a hole in that armchair and there needs to be fabric coming off that tablecloth and there needs to be, they will scuff it up.
Yeah. Yeah. There need to be strands sticking out of the fucking arm of the sofa and stuff like that. I always liken it to the difference between the original Star Wars trilogy and the prequel trilogy. If you look at some of the ships, and some fucking dickhead on the internet, somebody tried to pass it away as, during a time of peace and things were looked after and they were maintained and you didn't have a bollocks. It's just that because they could make it, they could CG it rather than physically making a model, they didn't bother, as I said, scuffing it up and making it look right. So when you've got the ship that's in Phantom Menace, where they all escaped and they land on Tatooine, that every time you see that, it's all fucking shiny polygons.
Yeah.
It's not like a model that has been dented in the fucking cupboard or when it's in the back of somebody's car being moved because they forgot it and somebody's put their sandwiches down on it, so all of a sudden there's a fucking egg mark down the side of it. You know, you haven't got any of that because they've just made a wireframe model.
Yes.
And now anytime they need it, they filmed in front of a green screen, they dumped that model in as well, and it will always look perfect. And that's not life. And so that's that kind of uncanny valley thing where our brain doesn't recognize it because it's too fucking perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whereas, you know, with these environments that have been built for Thomas, like they're real working environments, you know, and occasionally things will look a bit out of place. And, you know, maybe like with the stop motion things, maybe somebody will move slightly wrong. Maybe a thumbprint will appear. Maybe there's a hair in the gate. Maybe there's all of these things.
Hmm.
But that is real.
Yeah.
And it's a kind of weird disconnect sort of real, isn't it? Because it reminds you that you're watching something.
Yes.
But then in the process of reminding you and taking you out of the thing that you're watching, it also weirdly connects you to it as the viewer, as the audience member. Because you are engaging with that material enough to go, oh, look at that. There's a fucking thumbprint on his head. You know, it might bring you out of the story slightly, but it draws you more into that creative process and that world.
Yeah.
Certainly as an adult. As a kid, you don't even fucking notice it anyway.
No, that's it.
But as an adult, you notice that. But I saw the CG and I was... Plus the fact they've changed the theme tune. Which should be a criminal offence.
Yeah, like, somebody's fucking hanging over that.
Yeah, there's a new fucking theme tune. As soon as I heard it, I was like, no, what are you doing? As much as I don't like it, I can at least understand the move to CG because...
Yeah, costs and all the rest of it.
And that's what kids today are used to, right? Again, my daughter, she likes Thomas. We'll watch Thomas. She likes Morph. So she likes the stop motion stuff. But if I try and show her traditional cell animation, she's got no fucking interest whatsoever because she's used to watching CG. If I put CG in front of her, fine. She understands that that's a cartoon. And she watches it. Try and show her an old fucking cell drawn. No. No interest whatsoever. Because that's not a cartoon to her now. That's not what they look like.
That's something different.
Yeah. That's something else entirely. I hope she'll grow out of that. I mean, she will grow out of that.
She will. She'll have a fucking choice.
She does. Yeah, exactly. You know, we'll just stop watching the CG shit if that's what it's going to take. Yeah. So I get the move to CG, but I don't understand changing the fucking theme tune. That's just...
No, that there doesn't seem to be any purpose to that.
It's criminal, and it's part of Thomas's identity, as we were saying.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, it's fucking wonderful. Thomas the Tank Engine is fucking wonderful. As somebody that's got no interest in trains whatsoever, been on plenty of them, normally I'm pissed.
Fucking late.
Yeah, but they're a means of transport to me. Like, I've got no interest in...
It's a car or a bus or a van or a train. No, it's just another way of getting somewhere.
Yeah, no. So I'm not that guy. Not interested in the engineering side of it. Not interested in the model train set side of it, really, other than they look really cool. Like I said, every time I think I really want one, I set one up and go, yeah, great, boring.
Done that.
But the actual show, Thomas and Friends, is brilliant. It's 5 minutes or so of incredibly concise storytelling. It's entertaining. It's easy to watch. It doesn't annoy me as a parent, which is a huge tick in the box.
I'll agree with that. However, with 546 episodes, I'd imagine it might start to grate a little bit by the end.
Do you know, I don't know. I'll have to report back to you. Because remember, I'm not going to watch all 506 episodes either. We're going to watch the first three seasons over and over and over.
Yeah, true.
And we must be on probably 2.5 runs through now, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, that's still 78 episodes.
Yeah, so maybe we're still on the first one there. I don't know. But anyway, what I'm saying is I don't know. There are shows that I can just kind of tune into. This is one of them. Hmm. Bizarrely, because I know this annoys a lot of parents and did originally annoy me too, but I tuned into it very quickly. Bizarrely, we're on like our third rewatch of In the Night Garden. And that,
I loved it in the Night Garden.
It's fucking brilliant. And it could just, again, it's another one that doesn't annoy me at all. It can just wash over me. The first few times we watched it, it did annoy me. Because the first few times I was like, this is garbage. What the fuck is this?
But then again, if you take it at its level, which is it's teaching kids about telling stories through repetition and things like that, actually,
it's genius.
It kind of works.
And there is so much going on underneath the surface. I mean, it's not an old show, but I kind of almost want to put it on our list because I've seen so fucking much.
I think the problem is we wouldn't have any experience watching it as anything other than
as adults
approaching middle-aged adults.
Exactly, which is problematic. So.
Yeah,
but that's one of the only other shows I can think of that I'm watching repeatedly now that doesn't annoy me.
Yeah.
Even Sesame Street gets on my fucking tits sometimes. Not all the time. It's because it's absolute quality. But there are times, like when she's watched the same episode 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
I am a bit like, I've heard this song. I know the number of the day is 12 and I know the letter of the day is B. Like, enough, thank you.
Yeah, so we used to get it with number one because she was obsessed with Frozen, Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
And so like, we didn't have, it was Disney Life at the time, and we didn't have it. But we had them all on DVD. And because she couldn't work the DVD player, but she could work the remote, it was just play, finish, play, finish. Mm. I was like, for fuck's sake. And you do get to the point, it's like, yeah, okay, we've done this now. Can we put something else on?
Yeah.
And then she just press play again anyway, because why not? And yeah, she gets to that point, think, fuck, right, okay, I've done this now. I've done it three times today. That's now like 5 hours of my day gone. Can we please now do something else? Like, no, fucking boreholes in our heads or something.
I'm fortunate to have missed the whole Frozen thing, aren't I? So, because I don't like
that. But there'll be another one. There's always something.
It's not that I dislike Frozen. I don't dislike Frozen at all. I just don't understand the fuss.
It was just something. For whatever reason, I think Tangled caught a lot of people's imaginations. And Tangled is infinitely better. We've discussed that many times.
Yeah, not even comparable. How much better.
But for whatever reason, after that, people were sort of more galvanized by that and seeing the next Disney thing that came because they enjoyed that so much. Mm-hmm. And then because of that, Frozen just became a thing. And because then so many people went to see it, it became the thing. And then it's like, you know, this is a snake eating its own tail, isn't it? It's popular because it's everywhere, but it's everywhere because it's popular.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just inescapable. But then you had that, and then not long after that, you had Moana came out.
Again, but definitely that, better than Frozen.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, that didn't capture imagination in the same way.
It's coming back around, though, and not just because the sequels come in. Like, I think Moana is a film that, I mean, it was successful anyway.
Yes.
But I think it's had a larger tail than Frozen had, is the thing.
Yeah.
It's infinitely better. It's one of my favorite Disney movies. It's a fantastic. We're not doing a fucking Disney movie review. I don't know how we're getting into this on Thomas the Tank Engine episode, but
maybe that'd be another show another time.
I mean, fucking hell, how long have we got if you want to delve into fucking
there's only a certain number of films. We can't do that many.
Well, it depends. Are we just doing the animated films, or do we go into the live action films as well?
And then do we go into the unofficial straight to video sequels? And
I mean, I think you have to, even if you're just doing animated films, I think you have to count, the sequels that have been released, definitely. Like,
So you couldn't do Aladdin without doing Return to Jafar.
Exactly. Like, do you go, because especially now, like the studio are going to have a focus on sequels moving forward for the next kind of 5-6 years. I just said that now, that's the thing. We've Frozen 3 is on the way, Moana 2 is coming this month.
Yeah,
you know, this is the thing now. This is what they're doing. So you probably have to. I guess it's finite in the way that Game of Moans was finite.
Yeah, there's only actually so much product you can do.
I'm sure someone's done that, though. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's
probably
already rewatched every Disney product and given their tuppence worth on it, but not us, I guess.
Not us. I don't think anybody's sworn about it as quick. They were swollen quite as much as we would.
Fucking Frozen, yeah. So I have seen it quite a lot, just via osmosis, because like you say, it's fucking everywhere. I just remember coming out of the cinema, watching it the first time, and being very excited because it was a proper Disney musical.
Yeah.
But then also very disappointed because it wasn't, is the thing. It knew what it wanted to be, but it wasn't quite that. So I was excited for where the company was going with it, particularly off the back of Tangled, which I loved. It kind of felt like we're on the crest of another renaissance, and then it kind of just fumbled the ball is the problem. The songs that are there are fucking excellent, but there aren't enough of them, and it's poorly structured. Frozen 2 is way better. It's a much better.
But the songs aren't as good. They're not as memorable.
They're not as memorable.
They're as good. They're not as memorable. They're as technically as good, but they're not as memorable. I think it's the problem.
Yeah. I don't know that I wouldn't say they're not as good.
I'll retract that. They're as good. They're not better, but they're not worse. But they're just not as catchy and as memorable, I think.
I would accept that criticism, I think. But yeah, anyway, this isn't a fucking Disney or Frozen podcast. I was just saying.
Yeah, maybe tune in 2025 for that one.
Yeah, I missed that whole thing. I was lucky, but they. Something will come back around, and yes, it will annoy the piss out of me because I've had to watch it over and over and over again because she's into it.
Yeah.
Thomas doesn't do that, though. She can watch it as much as she fucking likes. It does not annoy me at all. So that's probably, like, as an adult, that's the best compliment I can pay it. As
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the fact that you're not pulling your hair out or going, "Oh, fuck, I'm not watching that again," and turning it off, and then causing World War III.
Yeah, exactly. I, you know, as a kid, I loved it anyway. You know, so it's a different metric, isn't it? That's the thing. But with this, it's not just the nostalgia hit. It's the fact that it's still, like, even those original 40-year-old episodes are still having the same effect on a child today, and I can visibly see that. Still have that effect on children today that they had on our generation. And as an adult now, like, it doesn't capture the same magic, but it's still a very impressive, very well-made show that tells a really good story. And it's top tier amongst the shows we've looked at, I think.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've not enjoyed a show that we've done this much recently.
Yeah.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed stuff we've done recently. But just not to this level. And I mean, especially this fucking week with basically all fucking hell about to break loose over the other side of the Atlantic. It was a nice little respite to go, you know what? I've got half an hour. I'm going to watch six of these fuckers because it's better than watching that fucking giant cheesy poof mince around stage.
Yep, completely. It's just the break you need before Trump nukes us all into oblivion.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah, go and watch.
And on that cheerful note,
yeah, go and watch some more Thomas the Tank, listeners. Like, if you haven't seen it in a long time, and maybe you haven't, even though it's still around, that doesn't mean you're.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Prime.
Yeah, that's the best bit. It's every fucking episode is on Prime. It's all free.
Yeah, because it was one of those. Again, I was thinking, fuck, it's 40-year-old. I'm going to struggle to find this. I might be able to pick up the odd bit or the odd anthology, but no, every motherfucking episode is on Prime.
Yeah, they're all there in order. You can start season one and just. Go.
And I didn't look into it in depth, but certainly the first three seasons were included in Prime, so you don't have to pay anything extra for them.
They're the only ones I'm watching, so
I didn't look any further than that.
I think it's quite a lot on there. Although with Prime, I don't know, I just know from experience with Sesame Street, they do tend to, like, when the shows have been long running like that. So, like, Sesame Street, there's seasons 41-ish, I think, up to about 53.
Yeah,
And then there's nothing before and there's nothing after, so you can get them, but you've got to pay for those ones.
Yeah. So now the other thing that Prime do, which they always catch me with, is that they wait until I'm about 2/3 of the way through a season, and then they pull it.
Yeah, and then they're like,
and I'm sure I'm sure they've got somebody just there watching people's algorithms and going, right, he's this far in now, he's this far in, fucking pull it, because he's that invested, he's gonna pay for the rest of the series.
Yep.
Fucking three times that's happened.
Yeah, bastards. Bastards.
But anyway,
it's the worst fucking streaming platform, but it's got, outside of Disney Plus, it's got the best content. That's the problem.
Yeah,
Disney Plus is still like top tier, but it's doing better than Netflix otherwise, just in terms of the sheer amount of content on there.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that's my problem with Apple. The content of Apple is very good,
so,
but there's not enough of it.
Yeah, so
the content is very good, but there's not enough of it. So you end up thinking, right, okay, well, unless I don't watch it for 6 months, I can watch a series. I can watch a season in a week, and then I've got fuck all to do for the next year until the next one comes out.
Yeah,
and it is improving, and they are releasing a lot more now. It's not like when Netflix produce their own stuff. Apple basically they're in a partnership with Sony, whereby Sony produce the shows for them on their, you know, they produce them on their behalf, and they just. It's just a platform for them to air them on.
Right.
But they then have a studio, basically their own studio making their own stuff, but they're not, they're just paying they're just bankrolling it. They're not involved in the production and such. Mm. So it's, you know, their stuff is very good. But yeah, if you had a spare month, you could go, right, I could watch the entire fucking content of it twice.
Yeah.
And then I've got nothing else to do.
Again, we've gone down a rabbit hole now. This isn't Chris and Mark's streaming platform review. But
two middle-aged fuckers moaning, isn't it?
Yeah. Pretty much, isn't that what we do every week? Once we're finished,
yeah, pretty much.
Take over the world, obviously. So, like, yeah, what we're saying is, it's fucking. If you're in the UK, this is free to you. So go and watch them, because it's great. Honestly, if you're
it is great fun.
It's as good as you remember. If you're not, I guarantee you, it's still a very good show that you've not seen. So go and have a look at it, and then maybe fuck off to Thomas Land as well for a bit and really immerse yourself.
Yeah.
So Drayton Manor could use some fucking money, by all accounts.
Yeah.
fuck off to Thomas Land for a bit.
Yeah. The other one I remember is, do you remember, you probably have an up where you were, we certainly had them in the valleys by us, where you'd have like a Christmas carnival every year. Yeah. And I can't remember what year it was, but it was one year that the three local primary schools, we were all marching in this fucking parade thing as part of the carnival. And we didn't know what was going on. We just told we had to turn up and fucking walk on this route. And the teachers were there to make sure we didn't be stupid. But they actually dressed the milk float up and put the fucking Thomas head on the front of it.
Brilliant.
And we were all following Thomas tag through the fucking town. Brilliant.
Brilliant. I get it's an easy fucking costume, isn't it? A couple of boxes. Yeah.
But like, that was it. The face looked like the face, but the rest of it looked like a fucking milk float.
I mean, Thomas is another one of those characters, like fucking Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, that you go to any Jippo carnival in the world and they will have like a roundabout ride with a fucking Thomas the Tank on it, like, or a Timmy the Tank Engine or whatever, with a fucking nightmare looking face on it, pulling a bunch of carriages around in a circle. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to see it. But there's an actual Thomas theme park. There is Thomas Land, Drayton Manor. I have been there. There's not much there, I'll be honest. It's not, particularly as an adult. But there is like a full-size Thomas the Tank that you can go and sit in a carriage and have a ride. That's quite cool. So
yeah, that's no childhood ambition fulfilled.
Yeah, that was quite cool. You know, there's not much else there. From memory, I think there was a helicopter ride as well.
I've not been there.
A Dumbo type thing. I mean, I'm going back. It's probably about 8 or 9 years since I went there. So I went there as a fully grown fucking adult. You know, this is it's a relatively recent thing. But yeah, it's all right. I don't know how we got into theme parks again. Probably because it just popped into my fucking head. I normally talk about theme parks at least once a month on this show, but there you go. There is a Thomas Land. So it's still around. Go watch it. Immerse yourself. You know, it's good. It's really, really fucking good. I mean, we haven't even touched on the amount of merch or the legacy that is left, really, because we've been talking about the show and, you know, we've had our usual sidetrack as well. But, you know, sometimes we talk about these shows and there's not that much to dig into with the show. So we have to go on to like, well, what else did it do and what did it spawn? We haven't had to do that here. If we did, we'd be here all fucking night.
Because I think
Thomas the Tank, everything.
Yes. I see. We're 40 years out from the show airing. I mean, the first books, I think, I don't even know when they were, fucking hell.
1940 something. I know that off the top of my head. I don't have to research that. I couldn't tell you 40 what, but it's 1940 something.
The railway series, 1945.
There you go.
1945 to 1972 was the original run, but written by Reverend Audrey, and then his son took over in 83 to 2011.
There you go.
So there you go. Yeah, so, you know, been going for a fucking long time, and the fact that, you know, we are 80 years removed from it first coming about, and you know, it's still every fucking where.
Yeah, and even down to, like, you mentioned, you know, this is kind of the inception of cars, and it sort of is, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I hadn't made that connection, but now you've said it, I don't think I can.
There's a small logical step to conclusions.
Yeah, I don't think I can look at cars without thinking of that. So that's in there now as well. And then there's even, you know, this stuff like, what's that fucking game that all the fucking YouTubers play with a fucking scary train? It's even shit like, what's it called?
No idea.
Choo Choo Charlie, that's the one. Fast. Have you not seen this?
No.
Right, so it's a whole thing where people play. It's a horror game. And you're working like a... You're working like a night shift on some sort of station somewhere. But you're being pursued by Choo Choo Charlie, which is this demonic, fucked up version of Thomas the Tank, basically.
Oh, okay.
So you just have to get away from Choo Choo Charlie and you're fucking on the
track. Okay, I think I've seen slightly different versions of it because number two is always watching fucking people playing Roblox and stuff. And I think there's similar stuff on there. It's not with the train, it's with some fucking monster thing, but similar principle.
It's this really fucked up demonic... It is like they've ripped off Thomas the Tank, right? If you look at the box art for it, it's this fucked up, twisted, clown-like almost version of Thomas the Tank. So there's even like shit like that. You know, at this point where we're getting Steamboat Willie horror films and stuff like that, you know, we're 80 years from this inception now. In our lifetime, we're probably going to see Thomas the Tank as a fucking horror character as well.
Well, I mean, we've seen Winnie the Pooh recently, haven't we?
We've had Winnie the Pooh, we've had Steamboat Willie, so we're only, let's see, it's been 80-odd years since those stories. Now, we're only 20 years until that enters the public domain, aren't we?
Well, I was going to say public domain-wise, yeah, we're talking 20, 25 and a half, 26 years.
Yeah, at which point...
No. Not 15, 16, actually, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So no time at all.
Yeah, no time at all. So, you know, yeah, you could see that coming. Who knows? But yeah, the lasting effect is definitely massive, you know, as evidenced by just the show alone being around for 40 years.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It's brilliant. There's nothing else to say. It's fucking brilliant. Just go and watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very keen. I mean, I know we say this every week and we do get some feedback from listeners, which is great, but this is one of those shows that, because it's been ever-present and it's not a case of it's been ever present, but there are only actually 20 episodes and they just repeat every couple of years and they, you know, it keeps popping up and like an unflinchable. It's actually a thing that has kept on going. I mean, it's on season 26.
Jesus.
It's been running for 40 years and it's still fucking going strong and it's spawned movies. And as you said, there's fucking merch everywhere and there's a Thomas Land, there's all this stuff. And I mean, we've come out of this and gone, I remember this. I remember when I was three, I did this. When I was four, people will have similar memories. People will have similar recollections of this show. And I would really love to hear what they are, because I think it's what I've never met anybody who's gone, oh yeah, that's a pile of shit. I've the Engine was fucking much better.
Yeah, no, neither have I.
Fucking Target reference. But you know, it's that sort of show. And I would love to know where people sit, what people thought of it at the time and where people sit with it now, especially if they have more or less kept up with it, or if they have kids who are into it, and they've just what people thought of. So I would really like to hear that. As always, we'll see about three people responding on, what are you fucking talking about?
Somebody might complain. I don't know. We've been...
somebody's bound to complain about something. We've said some pretty offish stuff tonight.
You fucking jumped on Raggy Doll's dick again. So if we get complaints, this is on you.
I just won't tag it. It'll be fine. If Google it won't flash up and we'll be fine.
Yeah, don't open that fucking door again, please.
Yeah, fair point. But yeah, so I mean, if you do have recollections of it, be they 40-year-old or they be more recent, please let us know. Get in touch on the usual channels on Twitter at SMPDpod. You can go to our website, ddpodcast.net, where you can also get our previous episodes of the show and our other shows. Wherever you get your podcast from, subscribe, leave a message, and we'll be back as best we can. Until next time.
See you later.